This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn reports that a federal judge in Virginia has sentenced former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort to nearly 4 years in prison for bank and tax fraud.
A federal judge imposed the 47-month sentence after Paul Manafort addressed the court, saying he feels humiliated and ashamed. He says in solitary confinement, he had time to reflect on his actions and hopes to have an opportunity to show the world who he really is. Manafort was prosecuted as part of special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation, but this case is unrelated to his work for the Trump campaign.
That's AP's Jackie Quinn reporting. For the second time in as many months, the U.S. House of Representatives Thursday condemned hateful speech on all forms in an attempt by Democrats to end a controversy over one of their own members' remarks deemed anti-Semitic by many.
The yeas are 407. The nays are 23.
The vote in the U.S. House of Representatives was lopsided, with members passing a resolution condemning anti-Semitism and other bigotry. The vote was a response to recent comments from freshman Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, who suggested congressmen who support Israel have allegiances to both the United States and Israel. Before the vote, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said members may disagree sometimes,
but never questioning the patriotism or motivation of anyone with whom we serve.
Mike Gracia, Washington.
Chinese tech giant Huawei has sued the U.S. government, arguing the legislation Congress passed last year restricting its businesses in the United States is unconstitutional. The case, which analysts see more as a public relations move, is the latest in an intensifying effort by the telecommunications company to fight U.S. security concerns that Huawei argues are unfair and unfounded. In its lawsuit, Huawei argues that a section of the National Defense Authorization Act violates the Constitution's principles of separations of power and due process. This is VOA News. Hundreds more men, women, and children trudged out of the last corner of the Islamic State's self-declared caliphate in Syria Thursday, increasingly defiant that the terror group's defeat was imminent. And even as Islamic State militants are losing the last of their territory in Syria, the top U.S. commander for the Middle East says that they remain dangerous. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani.
They're down to holding less than a single square mile in Syria, their physical caliphate nearly gone. But General Jovo Tell says the remaining militants are defiant.
Unrepentant, unbroken, and radicalized.
Telling a House committee they're simply going to ground and waiting for the right time to come back. And the world needs to figure out how to handle them.
This is a serious generational problem that, if not handled properly, will sow the seeds of future violent extremism.
Votel's testimony provides a reality check to President Trump's repeated claims that the Islamic State group has been defeated. Sagar Magani at the White House.
The commander of U.S. forces in Africa has cast doubt on whether the Pentagon will complete plans to cut forces in Africa by 10%, as the Department of Defense announced late last year. In November, Pentagon officials said they would cut roughly 700 of the 7,200 U.S. troops on the African continent by the year 2020. The reductions, officials said, were to optimize special operations forces that would be needed in potential future fights against near-peer competitors like Russia or China. The International Monetary Fund called Venezuela one of the most complex situations it has ever seen. IMF spokesman Jerry Rice Thursday described Venezuela and its economy as a combination of food and nutrition crises, hyperinflation, a destabilized exchange rate, debilitating human capital and physical productive capacity, and a very complicated debt situation. Rice said tackling a challenge is going to take strong resolve and broad international support from all 189 IMF members. Civic and governmental organizations across the world are preparing to recognize and celebrate International Women's Day Friday. International Women's Day is a more than 100-year-old celebration of women's social, economic, cultural, and political successes worldwide, while also calling for gender equality. It falls on the same day every year, March 8th, and brings together governments, women's organizations, businesses, and charities. Cities and towns around the world mark the day with rallies, conferences, art, and cultural projects, as well as lectures. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.